Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad and I'm delighted to start this all-important series tonight. It's a new series I'm starting, and you guys are blessed to be in the first class. I seek to make it interactive. I was even thinking that we'll probably change the seating arrangement and all that, but that's not really what makes it interactive. What makes it interactive is that we're able to interact. So please, technical should make an extra mic available. I'll talk to you, I'll ask you questions, and I want you to talk to me. And if there's anything where you probably think you need a clarification, just signal that you want to say something, and then I'll listen to you. I want to make it that interactive. I've taught this topic before, a couple of years ago, but the way I want to teach it now, I seek to make it interactive. So as I talk to you, I want you to also talk to me. How to be led by the Spirit of God. I must say that right after your salvation experience, I think the next most important topic that we should be taught and that we should be conversant with as Christians is this topic: how you can be led by the Spirit of God. Now, it is very important for you to know that God has not created us to exist in this world all by ourselves. Very important. Even our natural biological parents, when they give birth to us, they just didn't abandon us to figure life out. As a baby, if they had abandoned you to figure out how to feed yourself as a day-old baby, do you think any of us would have survived? Now, it's going to be an interactive service. So do you think we would have survived? No breastfeeding, nothing. When we became toddlers, if they didn't make our meal, maybe Cerelac and other cereal, or they started cooking noodles and stuff like that, if they didn't do it, as a two-year-old, could you figure out life by yourself? None of us. So if our biological parents would not leave us to just figure out life on our own, do you think that God Almighty would just leave us alone? He had created us here, and he would just leave us alone to figure out life. Life. All by ourselves. Do you think that would happen? Come on, talk to me, church. Okay, good. So, if God has not created us to figure out life by ourselves, it must therefore mean that he had, before the foundation of the world, designed ways for us to live life. And for us to know how to live, we must be led by somebody. Everybody is being led by somebody, whether you know it or not. Even right now, the actions you take, your actions, your inactions, your decisions, your choices, you are being influenced by somebody, whether physical or spiritual. When you look at an advert, for example, and, oh, wow, nice product. I've never seen this before, so this exists. Can this work for my head that is already, maybe you are, something is approaching, baldness is approaching. No, I don't want this. And then there's a product they're advertising. This looks like it's going to be good for my hair growth. Now, somebody put that ad together and entered the minds of the people who would be in need of that product. People that are usually going bald are worried, male and female. It's going to give me the look of an older person, especially if you're male. Female, it's even very sad. You don't even want to go there. And so women are also very particular about their hair growth. Am I right about that? Now, for someone to make an ad that will be very effective, it needs to get into your mind first. It needs to be able to think like you. What does a man going bald think like? What are his worries? They put all of that together, then push the product. Now, first of all, they identify with you. These are the challenges. These are the problems you are going through. Now, This is the solution. If you try this in 1 month, there's a money-back guarantee. Now, there's no money-back guarantee in Nigeria anyways. You know, but they tell you, if you try this in 1 month, the results are going to be fantastic. And guess what? Because you're going bald, you go after that product. Because they entered your mind. Now, having entered your mind, they're now leading you to make a decision. And then the next thing, you get on your mobile phone, you probably take their bank details or whatever, or their website. Then you do some more research. Okay, oh, they even have stores around. Oh, I can order online. And then you get on your mobile bank app. You transfer 40,000 naira. That's a lot of money right now, man. But because you love yourself, and now head is going bald, you transfer 40,000 in faith that they will deliver. Is that right? You are being led. If they don't happen to deliver that product, oh man, I've been scammed. And you know that happens a lot. It happens. People order things. Or sometimes you order something, they bring something else. Or maybe the quantity, you thought, it should be 50 gram now. Now it's 25 gram. Or 50 kg and then it's 25 kg or 10 kg, right? You have been led by someone. The person that put that ad together. Everybody is being led every day. You have rice at home now. Why are you buying rice outside? Don't you all buy jollof rice? So, man, that guy, his own is cheaper. If you put the stuff together, by the time you do the cooking yourself, it's going to be a lot cheaper. But why do you still spend your hard-earned money to order food from somewhere? You're led, whether by the aesthetics. Man, that place is really nice. That means their food will be tasty. It's not always so. But you have been led. And on a daily basis like this, we are making decisions. The university I want to attend, the course I want to study. Maybe when you wanted to go for your first degree, you were much younger. So someone told you, maybe your parents told you, we wanted to go to UI. And you didn't have a choice. You didn't like UI. You would have preferred UNILAG, University of Lagos. But University of Ibadan is in Ibadan. And your parents, by sentiment, want you to stay in Ibadan. Pastor Fred wants you to be in Ibadan, period. Right? So, you are being led. Now, you want to go for your master's. You say, I'm of age now. I can decide. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to Lagos. I'm going to Canada for my master's. Okay, that's fine. Then you start doing your processing and all that. And then when you start doing processing, you go to their various websites. You search different schools. But there's a school that stands out, that appeals to you. Maybe the location. Maybe what they offer their graduates after postgraduate. You know, what they offer them. Maybe PR. This is going to lead to PR. Something will lead you to make a decision. You think you're the one making your decision. Now I'm an adult. I want to go to University of Ontario. Oh, that sounds good. But hey, you are still being led. When you were much younger, you were led. Now you are still being led. You have information on the website. That information is leading you by whoever put it there. If care is not taken, we can live our entire life just being led by information on the internet. Information from friends. Information from family. Information from those who like us. Information from those who don't like us. And we might never really find out God's plan for our lives. God will lead you into his plan. We might never really be led by God if we choose to just absorb information from outside every single time. Somebody can bring a business proposal and then you can afford it. You can afford to put money there. But have you asked God? More often than not, we don't. It looks good. Omo, what's in it for me? Bring 30% of the investment. In 30 days, you are going to have 60% return, ROI. Oh, wow. Are you for real? Is this thing real? They've done it in Abuja now. If I have a friend. That's Dipo. Dipo bought his car from the money he made from this same business. So those people now, they're still in Abuja, but they're spreading their tentacles. Now they're coming to Ibadan. Oh, really? That means they've got a track record. Because they've got a track record, boom, you put your 100,000 naira. Because they've got a track record. You have been led. Led by your senses. Led by your brain. Led by the business acumen that is in you. Is what I'm sharing resonating with someone tonight? Because if it looks good, I mean, that's a place where my money will grow. Like they say, put your money where it will grow. Am I right about that? And one of the things that we like as human beings is track record. Do they have a track record? Everybody's doing real estate now. Real estate, real estate, real estate, right? And then they say, this particular company, man, they've been in business for 10 years. And they've done this in Enugu. They've done this in Abuja. They've done it in Port Harcourt. Now, notice, me just say this, Abuja, Port Harcourt. They've done it in Lagos. Now, they just want to have mercy, kind of. They just want to help people, help Ibadan people. You know, when you hear that, like, they want to help you. Who really wants to help you? They want to take from you. But they want to help Ibadan people, like upcoming, you know, guys in Ibadan. That's why they have come. And then, you know, if you check their record, check them out now. Go online, check them. And then you go online and then you check. And based on the facts you see online, which might not be the real facts in real life, you make a decision. 1 million, boom. 6 months after, stories start changing. And I say, well, I want to withdraw my investment. Well, you signed so and so when you put your money. The thing that you signed hurriedly, that you did not ask for the interpretation before you signed, now the lawyer of that company will explain to you. So at the end of the day, if you want to walk away from the deal, you will actually be giving us 200,000 extra. What? On top of my 1 million? Well, this is what it means. Between so-so and so period, we used your money. We got to a place. We put security. We put everything. We were waiting for you to come and develop it. And you have failed to come and develop it. And blah, blah. Now you want to walk away. Because of those extra costs you have incurred, you will have to pay 250,000 to even walk away. So you say, okay, I'm not walking away again. I stay. Okay, so if you are staying, these are the terms and conditions. In another 3 months, we expect that the first phase of development will kick off. So you will need to pay developmental levy. You say, what have I entered? To go away, you can't go away. To stay, it's not easy to stay. How were you led into that? You were led by others. You were led by trusted friends. Maybe they didn't mean any harm, but they led you. Let's imagine our lives. How many decisions we make every day? Over the last 10 years, in how many of them did you consult God? Did you ask God, God, what are you thinking about this? Do you want me to do it or not? I want you to therefore backpedal a bit tonight in your mind and think. As a child of God, does God really want to lead me? Is God interested in leading me? Or I should just continue to figure out life by myself? This is how people figure out life. They figure out the life partner to marry, and they wind up in a marital bondage. Their lives are so bitter. They end that marriage, maybe after a year or two or three, and there's a child already, move into another marriage in a hurry, repeating the same mistake, not going back to the author of marriage to ask, but this one looks nicer. And you know, you have not been there, and you will not be there in Jesus' name. When you're having marital crisis, when people are having marital crisis, there's always someone somewhere that's like an option. And this person that is an option will present their best side. And they will tell you, if it was me now, for example, I would not have said that to you. The lady is so mean. I don't know. Where did you even meet her? Look at you, such a good man. You're hardworking now. And men like to hear that. Men like to hear that you massage their ego. You're such a hardworking guy. I mean, what is it that a woman wants? What else? And then you're thinking, God, why did I make that mistake? Anyway, so you end the marriage, and then, boom, this person, at least this is my angel, my love, my life. She can play along another 1 year or two. Now you see another layer of the onion. Ah. This was not there last year. Well, I've always been like this. This is who I am. And then you cope again. And some, because they don't want people to start counting it for them, they stay. Whatever hell they go through, they swallow it until they die. For some, they break it again onto the next. And then that vicious cycle continues. God doesn't want his children to live that way. God, listen to me, church, wants to be involved in your everyday life. It's not a God meant for decoration. He wants to be involved in your major decisions, in what you call minor decisions. If you ask him, he has an opinion. Your choice of friends, choice of a life partner, choice of job, career, location, where you want to be, where you want to relocate to, whatever you want to do, God wants to lead you. So let's settle that at the back of our mind, that God did not create us here for us to figure out life by ourselves. There's a scripture, Jeremiah 10:23. I believe I got it right. Jeremiah 10:23. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Yeah. This spoke to my heart many, many years ago, and I've not let go of it. It says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man, that is a mere mortal, that walketh to direct his steps. It's not in man. It is not in man that is walking around to direct his own steps. In other words, God is the director. The steps of a good man are ordered by who? Come on, talk to me, church. By who? By the Lord. Now, this is Bible study. Make sure you always bring your Bible. And I'm going to make this interactive so I can give you a scripture and tell you that someone should give us that scripture. Don't run away if you don't know it. I'm not going to be on your case, but I'm going to say someone that knows where that scripture is, can you give that to us? Like the one I just quoted. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's in the Psalms, and I can help you a little bit, but let me not help you beyond that. Now, Jeremiah said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. This guy walked with God, though. He was one of the major prophets. He came to a point, he said, Lord, I know. I need you. I need you to order my steps. I need you to lead me. Because the way of a man is not in himself. The smartest of us cannot figure out his own life. You may choose to use your brain. That's fine. You will get the result that your brain can acquire for you. But if you choose to follow the leading of the Spirit of God, then you will get the kind of result that only the Spirit of God can bring into your life. Are you with me, church? Note that scripture. Now, coming from this point, let's now go to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. Proverbs. Proverbs is right after the book of Psalms, so just backpedal a bit. Chapter 20 and verse 27. The writer of Proverbs said something very, very instructive. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all. Somebody say all. All the inward parts of the belly. If this scripture were written today, it won't say candle. Because they didn't have electricity by the time this was written. And probably one of the most effective ways to have light to see was the use or the aid of a candle. If the scripture were to be written today, it would be something like the spirit of man is the incandescent light bulb, the fluorescent, the floodlight of the Lord. Barest minimum, the light bulb of the Lord. How do you see in your room? Turn on the light bulb comes on, and then you are able to see. When God wants to illuminate you, when God wants to put an idea in your spirit, When God wants to give you an instruction, it doesn't go to your brain. It doesn't go to your body. It doesn't go to your mind. No. The Bible does not say the mind of man is the candle of the Lord. The Bible does not say either the body of man is the candle of the Lord. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Amen. So if God is going to give you an instruction, where do you think that instruction will go to? From God to your... Do you all agree? Does anybody disagree? They said, some of them said spirit. You think, so when God wants to give you an idea now, for example, that idea will go from God to your spirit or to your mind. Let's think about this. You know, the Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. But your mind is important. Your mind is the center where you make decisions. So if you say the information will go, or the revelation, or the light will go to your spirit, how about people that pray, Lord, give me an idea in my mind? Because you use the mind. Now, for your information, the mind is not here. It's not in your chest. What is here is your heart behind the ribcage. Here is where the mind is. Here, up here. Lord, give me this idea in my mind. Give it to me in my mind, Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Searching through all the inward parts of the belly. God wants to lead us every day. You can be led by God. As a child of God, you should expect to be led by God. Some things should not happen in our lives again by surprise. I know God will keep certain things as pleasant surprises for us. We will not be surprised that he does those things, but we'll be surprised how he does them, and maybe sometimes through whom he does them. But especially when something bad is about to happen, we should not be caught by surprise. Somebody should be sensitive enough to pick it up and say, oh, I picked something in my spirit, and I want to pray. Lord, that doesn't taste good. It doesn't sound good to my spirit, man. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Whatever the devil is trying to do, Lord, I rebuke it. And God is always looking for intercessors. The spirit of man. What if your spirit is too dull to pick signals? That's where the problem is. But does God want to lead? Yes. Go to Psalm 32. Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 32. And we look at verses 7 and 8. Psalm 32. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance. Selah. That was the psalmist talking to God. But look at what the Lord said in verse 8. Now, Selah means pause and think about this. This was his prayer. He was talking to God in verse 7. Lord, you are my hiding place. Lord, you will preserve me from trouble. Lord, you will compass me about with songs of deliverance. Then I paused to think about it. Then God responded. God said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. That's being led by God. I will guide you with my eye. Does God want to lead his children? Nobody came to Bible study. With this scripture, if you marry verses 7 and 8 together, you will see God is saying, the way I'm going to be your hiding place is that I lead you and you follow my leading. The way the psalmist said, you are my hiding place, you are going to preserve me from trouble. God is saying, the way I'm going to preserve you from trouble is for you to listen to my instructions. You can pray in the morning, read Psalm 91, leave your house and get into trouble. And then you go back and say, Lord, but I prayed this morning. You know, some Christians, when something sinister happens, something bad happens during the day, they quickly say, it was because I didn't pray this morning. God is not interested in performance. God is interested in our relationship with him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Nobody can impress God with performance. I know you wake up 3 a.m. to pray 3 hours every morning. Thank God for your life. That does not increase the greatness of God. God is already great. He was great before you were created at all. When you don't exist again, he will still continue to be great. Can I have an amen? He's already great. He cannot be greater. So thank God you are praying 3 hours every day. That is building you up. It's doing you well. It's not like you are doing God a favor. It's doing you, doing yourself a favor. So if on a particular day you do not pray for some reason and then something happens, don't quickly tie whatever bad happens to the fact that you didn't pray that morning, because that would be saying that you have been preserved by your prayer. So the day you do not pray, then something bad is going to happen. If that is the case, how many of us will be alive today? God is God. Even bad people that hate him, he still preserves them. He's still blessing them. There are countries of the world where they are, for the most part, they are atheists. They don't even believe in God. Yet, they plant stuff in the ground and God allows it to grow. God causes his rain to fall on their country. His son, if I were God, I withhold my rain. Maybe you say there's no God. I withhold my rain. They will try to do artificial rain. I won't let it work. I will withhold my sunshine. Everywhere will be cold. They will freeze to death. But God is not like that. He's a good God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, God wants to lead us, right? The psalmist said, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. God said, I will instruct you. I will teach you. I will guide you. That is the answer to your prayer. That is how I will preserve you from trouble. That is how I will be your hiding place. I cannot be giving you instructions and you are disobeying the instructions and you are expecting the blessings of obedience. That was what led me to, you can pray in the morning, read Psalm 91, and still go ahead and get into trouble. Why? Because after you have prayed, and maybe you were meditating on the scriptures or you just were observing a quiet time to listen to God, somehow God witnesses to your spirit man. And that's where we're going to take it off from next time, next class, which is next week. God witnesses. He gives you an inward witness. Somebody say inward witness. Don't take that route to school. And you know the route he's talking about. He wants you to take another route. But in your logic, this other route will cost me more money. There is going to be a whooping 50 naira extra. Because if I take this route, the cabman will collect 200 naira. If I take that route, it is 250 naira. Lord, you know that 50 naira is a lot of money right now, Lord. You know the economy of Nigeria. Now, it withholds your peace and says, don't go that way. I don't want you to go that way. But you said, no. Kirambo stabalia rastupa dizo daza. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me. And then you get on the road, you get on that route that the Lord said don't take. And then you are quoting scriptures. Thank you, precious Father. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Is he with you? Yes, he is. He won't depart from you because you are walking the way of disobedience. He's still with you. But he will fold his hands. Because he has shown you the better way, oh man, but you chose the hard way. And then you finish that scripture. Say, so where are they? Even the valley of the shadow of death is with me. Anywhere I go, the Lord is there. Okay. Then you go to Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. And then you go on and quote the entire psalm. And then down the road somewhere, somebody gives you a slap, a very dirty slap on your face. Your mobile phone falls off, and then they pick it up. They got on a bike. Off, they have traveled. And then they show you your mobile phone. Ah! What? While you're still trying to recover from the slap, your phone is gone. And then you turn around, what kind of God is this? I prayed 3 hours in the Holy Ghost before I left home. I prayed. 3 hours. 3 hours I prayed, but why would God allow this to happen to me? That's why sometimes, keep quiet. When you hear that a tragic event happened to a Christian, oh, but he's a pastor. Why should that happen? You don't know the details between him and God. You don't know what God told him that he refused. I'm not saying in all cases, but in some cases, and because we can't say in all cases, that's the more reason you should keep quiet. Don't always have an opinion on every matter, especially other people's matter. Mind your business. The Bible teaches us to mind our business. Why would they not rob you? The Lord said, go this way. Can I ask you a question? Does the Lord know a little bit more than you do? He knows the beginning of the road. He knows the middle of the road. He knows there's a son of Belial who has positioned himself at the end of the road. See, God can help us escape death anytime, any day. Nothing is hidden before God. Even the darkness is light before him. David said so. He said, if I try to hide myself in the night, he said, darkness and light are alike before you. If I take the wings of the morning and I travel very far, you are there. If I go to the, if I go over the seas, even there your right hand will guide me. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. Where will I go from your spirit? So if the Lord says this way, and you go that way, you're on your own. If the Lord says, don't date that guy or don't date that lady, that's not your life partner. I say, no, time is going. I can't wait again. I've been waiting all these years. When will the right person show up? And you go ahead. It's okay. The Lord will be present at the wedding. But he won't be the chairman of the home. So when that goes, starts. 3 months. Honeymoon is over. Now his son. Solar system. Very hot. Lord, but I prayed. I know I prayed. I waited on God. I fasted, biri, marathon, 1 month. I almost died. Now, don't try that because you go to heaven. 1 month is too much. But, I mean, I fasted. Did she fast? Talk to me, church. Did she fast? Yes. Did she even pray? Yes. In fact, she even sowed a seed into pastor's life. Pastor, I covet the grace of God on your life. I see your marriage. I like it. And I want to be happily married like you. And I've put some month salaries together. And this is 500K. I just want to sow it, sir, into your marriage as a seed. Because I want the same grace on your life. The same oil. Oh, yeah. That is showing, that is flowing on your head. No be joko. I want it to flow. People do all those kind of things. Some of those things are just gimmicks. It doesn't work that way. You can't tap anointing of marital bliss that way. Some preachers have made a merchandise of God's people. Come and sow $1,000 if you want to have marital bliss. My friend, you will sow $1 million and have marital hell. The only route to marital bliss is to listen to what God is saying and obey. Simple. Simple. God says, this is the person because I've worked on her over the years. I've worked on you. I know the vision I put in your spirit. And it's the same vision I put in her spirit. And according to Amos 3:3, two cannot work together except they agree. This is the person that will agree with you. You say, no, she's too short. No, I like. Big things. Okay. When trouble comes, I'm telling you, you'll not see the big things again. You'll be seeing a devil. Oh, I married a devil. May that not be your portion in Jesus' name. So you can even pray. You can sow seed, sir. You can fast until your neck sticks out like the bottle of Tada. You go Tada. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you miss the leading from the inside, O-Y-O. Because whatever God does not commission, God does not give the provision for it. Provision means it comes after the vision. That's why it's not prevision. It's provision. God gives a vision. You follow the vision of God. He makes provision available. Are you with me, church? And part of his provision is marital bliss. I've used that example. There are other examples. Your career, your business, your line of work. I am telling you, if you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you will be rich. Now, I am not like that man in Abuja that says that you can't trust the spirituality of a poor man, blah, blah, blah. People are at different stages of their lives. Those who are poor today will be rich tomorrow. Can I have an amen? But I took those words, I took them from the mouth of the Lord Jesus when he spoke to Papa Kenneth Hagin, that if you follow the leading of the Spirit by the inward witness, by the inward witness, I will make you rich. The Lord said to Papa Kenneth again. Because the Lord will not lead you into chaos. Even David, that did not have the Holy Spirit resident in him, the Spirit only came upon them because they were old covenant saints. The Holy Ghost only came on them. He didn't dwell in them. David said in Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, my leader. I shall not want. The reason I shall not want is because the Lord is the one leading me. He knows where the grass is green. Some say Ibadan is too dry. Nobody can do business in Ibadan and succeed. There are billionaires in Ibadan. Don't get it twisted. It's not by shouting. There are many fake billionaires in Lagos that looks like Lagos used to be the federal capital territory. So you have a lot of industries and everything there. It's more industrialized than Ibadan. But God did not make it in such a way that everybody has to live in Lagos or in Abuja. Otherwise, let's close Ibadan. Let all of us go to Lagos. God knows where the grass is green. If you're making 1 million in Lagos, your life will not be as sweet as the one, your friend, who is making same 1 million in Ibadan. The kind of house where we live, you can't try it in Lagos. You cannot. Because your rent is different. Your expenses are different. I'm not saying Lagos is not good. For some people, they need to go to Lagos to thrive. By virtue of what God has positioned in them and the connections he has prepared for them. For some of us, it's to stay in Ibadan. Go to Lagos, make Lagos money, bring it back to Ibadan. Live in Nigeria, Ibadan, Nigeria. Go abroad, make abroad money, bring it back to Ibadan. Go everywhere, bring the harvest. Are you getting what I'm saying? As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Some people have moved to Lagos. They got stranded. Shame. They ran back to Ibadan with shame. Some, because they could not bear the shame, they just kept patching. So they don't have a permanent address. Oh boy, where you did for Lagos? Ah, Shomolu I did now. Another time, say, where an Aketo I did? Ah, you moved from Shomolu. Ah, I'm on. Nah, long story. We'll talk about that another time. The next time, I'm hanging with one friend in Magodo. Ah, you're in Magodo, you're a big boy now. The next time, I'm on Shangisha. What you move from Magodo, Shangisha. Shangisha is outside Magodo. The next time, Adisha. When are you going to settle down? When will you be able to marry? Will a woman marry a man that has no permanent address, who is always just courting with friends all over the place? When you could have stayed back here in Oremeji, Ibadan, Nigeria, and orders will be coming from all over the world. I'll be making your cool money. You'll be paying your tithe. You only go to Lagos when you need to. You go abroad on vacation. I saw the video of a Nigerian in Toronto today. Toronto, Canada. Homeless. In Nigerian. Ah, Chinese Shien. In Nigerian. Homeless. in Toronto. Traveled on wrong information, wrong visa, some of them. They traveled with student visa. They didn't go to school. So they lost their studentship status. And when that happens, you are declared as an illegal immigrant. Some traveled on visit visa. No solid plan on where they would live, if somebody would help them to find work and things like that. And then they got there and were surprised. You think abroad, when you just land abroad like this, they pick, you know, you just be picking dollars on the floor. Canada, here. So you have angry. Canadian dollar. You will work, eh? We don't work here. In terms of really working. All of you, when you're at work, you still use your phone. Abi, guy, how far now? I did work, Jerry. Overseas, you can't try it. Camera is all over the place. They catch you. Psh, and once they fire you, you're in trouble because everything is hanging on the job, including your bed sheet. But those who are led to be there, they will excel. They may have some rough times and some challenges. It is still that leading of the Holy Spirit that will see them through the tough times. Our pastor in Berlin, Germany, came close, very close like this, to returning to Nigeria many, many years ago. First class UI, mechanical engineering. And I think got a job with Shell. Started out as a young man, big boy. Then ministry and everything, and then moved to Germany, and then started schooling. He had to do masters because he wanted to do ministry, you know, at the same time working. But it got to a point, things were bad. You will hear his story when it comes in April. We have a special session for the youth, especially for those of you that want to have dominion in the diaspora. You will learn a lot. We have another person, the other person who is a medical doctor. But when he left, he was a medical doctor practicing in Nigeria. When he left for the U.S., he was working in a grocery store, in a supermarket. A whole medical doctor. Terrible experiences. But because they were led to go to where they went to, the Lord also showed up for them, leading one step at a time. The way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23 said that. So God wants to lead us. He's such a good God. He knows where, I'm telling you, God knows where the grass is green. You might be doing a particular business now, but there's a business very close to it that you're not looking at. And you can do it. You have the acumen. You have the skill set to do it. And God wants you to do it because that's where your prosperity lies. But sometimes, you see, this is our head. Very like coconut. The agidi inside the head. You will now stay where you are sweating and sweating. And it's just one step to veer off into this. And that's it. And the person can do this over 40 years. Little result. If only he would just listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside and say, do this. Hey, but I'm not qualified now. Dude, I don't have experience now. Experience starts how? Is it not by doing? That's why it's unfair. When some companies are hiring people and they say you must be 27 years of age, but you must have 7 years experience. Ewa? Experience will start from somewhere. Why can't we have people that will start having experience from us? If it's not a life-threatening situation, like we want a pilot, that one, you must have experience. Nobody wants a novice pilot. Go and be training your training aviation school. Then when you are done, you go with an experienced pilot for years before you now become the main one. It's not that you are just fresh out of school. I've got zero experience, but I believe I can fly. So, oh, Brother Robert Kelly, God bless you. We'll see you some other time. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Are you getting what I'm saying? The Lord wants to lead us. Now, in verse 9 of that Psalm 32, it said, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. He said, don't let us be like animals, that they have to hold your mouth. You know, when a horse is neighing, they put a bit in the mouth. They use the bit to control the speed and the direction. God said, I don't want my children led like animals. I want to lead you from the inside. Somebody say from the inside. So let's go back to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It didn't say the head of man. It didn't say the brain of man. It didn't say the body of man. It didn't say the mind of man. It says the Spirit. The Spirit which is on the inside of man. And there is the Spirit of God on the inside. There is Spirit. There is Spirit on the inside of every man. There is Spirit. Job 32 and verse 8. And then we'll come to the New Testament scriptures. And then we'll close it for tonight. Proverbs. Can you imagine that? Job 32 and verse 8. But there's a Spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them what? Come on, talk to me. Gives them what? Somebody said, gives them light. That understanding is light. He inspires you. Then you see. Oh, I see. Have you been talking to someone before? You were talking to them, they didn't understand what you were saying. And then all of a sudden you used an analogy or an example, an illustration. Oh, I see. Ah, oh, but it's so now. I didn't know that was what you were saying. Oh, I see. Now, were they blind before? No, they were not. But now, that I see means, now I understand. And when understanding comes alive, you don't need to convince that man again. He will go ahead and carry out the task because now he understands what to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? I want to be sure. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me give you one, two more scriptures, and then I'll ask one or two of you to recap what I've said. Let's make it interactive. I want to be sure you got what I said. And if there's something that is not clear, you clearly want to ask your question, and then we close. All right, so let's go to the New Testament. Number one New Testament way that God would lead us is through the inward witness. We find that in Romans 8 and verse 16. And what does it say? It says the Spirit, now KJV says itself. That's a poor translation of that word itself. The Spirit himself. The Holy Spirit is a person, himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There is a witness. If I ask you, are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? How do you know you're a child of God? Is there a witness in you? Is there a witness that you belong to the devil? Is there a witness, anybody, be honest, that you belong to the devil? On that final day like this, you just discover that devil says, you're Maria, come. You don't have such a witness if you're a child of God. If you're truly born again, there's a freedom that comes. You used to be a child of the devil, but you crossed the line. Now you're a child of God, and then there is joy, there is peace, there is the love of God. Now there is a liberty of the Spirit. In much same way, when God begins to get things across to you that he wants you to do, he will give you a witness in your spirit, in your born-again human spirit. I'll take it up from there next week. But before we go, let me let you understand. Some of you who have been here for a while will understand, but let me say it again tonight, that every person you see, every man, every woman you see, is made up of three parts. So it's important. Before we go into how God leads, let us understand the man that God wants to lead. The makeup of every man. The makeup of every man is such that you are a spirit. Somebody say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, then I'll tell you how God explained that to me. Oh my God, my time is almost up. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole, notice the way Paul arranged it by the help of the Holy Spirit. Notice the way he arranged the three parts. Your whole, number one, spirit, number two, and soul, number three, and body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, man, the spirit, your spirit is the innermost part of you. That's the first part of you. Over time, I have understood it as the soul is next, and then the body is the one we see on the outside. But in recent times, just recently, I perceive, the Spirit of God quickened me in this area to understand it better. Man is a spirit, so I am a spirit. Man has a soul. That spirit has a soul. Amen. So it's not like three personalities. It's three, but then in one. So the soul is a component, is an integral part of the spirit. The only thing that separates the soul from the spirit, that can separate it, is the word of God. Because it can go there and penetrate, according to Hebrews 4, and I think it's verse 11. Can you put that on the screen, please? The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:11. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, can we have that on the screen? Oh, that's wrong. Can you? 4:12. 12. Okay, thank you. 4:12. 4:12. 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. The word of God can penetrate between the soul and the spirit. Even though they are intertwined, the word of God can penetrate, can pierce through. It can even go to the bone marrow, like the source of life, and effect a change there. So, the Holy Ghost helped me to understand this. I believe, I perceive that I am a spirit. That spirit of mine has a soul. And then, spirit and soul are living a body. This body is really not me. The real me. The real me is my spirit on the inside that has a soul. When a man dies, and we have seen examples from the scriptures. I think Luke 16 is the story of Abraham and Lazarus and the rich man. When the rich man died and went to hell, the Bible says he lifted up his eye. You know that story? There was this Lazarus that had sores on his body. Not the Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. He said, I think verse 23 or verse 26, he said, The rich man said, he looked up and saw Father Abraham and said to Father Abraham, please tell Lazarus to dip his finger in water and come and put in my tongue, right? Very good. Luke 16. Good. I got it. And verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. In other words, verse 23. Go backpedal to verse 23. I like the way verse 23 opened. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He was able to recognize both of them. You are able to recognize people. Your cognitive process is part of your soul. Are you getting what I'm saying? How are we able to know one another? How do I know information about you? Oh, your name is Folake, and you're a member of the Expression House, and you're a student of UI. How do I know that information? It's stored in my soul. When you go to school, UI, and they teach you chemistry 157, psych 525, soc 121, all of these courses that they teach you, they're loading information into your soul. In your soul, you have your mind, your will, and your emotions. So your mind is processing all that information. If I ask you now, what is biology? Biology. Biology is the study of, you say something, right? Because that has been programmed into your soul. So for that man in hell to have lifted his eyes and to have seen Abraham and Lazarus and was able to recognize them, that means his soul was active. Are you with me? The Bible didn't make mention of his body. Of course, when people transition to the realm of the spirit, they have another kind of body. Those of us that are going to make it with the Lord Jesus, we are going to have the body incorruptible, our glorious body. We'll drop this one. Take on another one. So that one, the Bible says the man was able to recognize Abraham and Lazarus. And I believe when we get to heaven, we'll be able to recognize one another. Oh, this is you. I hug you. Oh, Pastor Fred. Whatever. Well, that's how you knew me here. That's how you're going to know me there. And I'm going to be like this when you see me there. And you're going to be like you are when I see you there. We are going to have our glorious body, but we'll still have our soul with the ability to recognize one another. Amen? I believe that pretty much. So the soul, the way it came to me very recently, I have a spirit, and that spirit has a soul. What we normally say is, I don't have a spirit. I am a spirit. I have a soul. So, very safe. I'm a spirit, and that my spirit has a soul. I'm saying the same thing. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And then I live in a body. So I can say, I'm a spirit. That spirit of mine has a soul, and that spirit of mine lives in a body. Is that right? Okay. So, we'll begin to understand it from there next week by the grace of God. And so when God is going to give information to you or revelation to you, it goes to your spirit. And then your spirit will interpret that to your soul. And then your soul will inform your body to carry out the action. There is a challenge when we are not hearing from the Spirit of God. When Christians live from outside in, they are body ruled. Any appetite your body wants, you give it. Your body wants to smoke, you buy, you smoke. Wants to drink, you buy alcohol, you drink. Wants to have sex, you go ahead and do it. Even though you are born again, you pray, you speak in tongues. You are being body ruled, body controlled. That person will wind up as a carnal Christian, or what is called a baby Christian. And you see that carnality, if not checked, can destroy anybody. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How can we be spiritually minded? When we yield to the Holy Spirit through our born-again human spirit. I will explain more. Am I going to advance tonight? Did you get something? Okay, so let's have a recap quickly. One, two people to speak. What you learned, what you understood from what I shared. Quickly. Where's the mic? So go, lift your hand if you want to say something. I don't want to point at anybody so you know. Say, why is Pastor asking me like this? I won't come next week. No, I want you to come. Come throughout. Just tell me something that you have learned tonight. Maybe something that sticks with you. Something you are taking home. Something that resonates with you. Like, oh, really? I didn't understand this before, but it's clear now. Or, yes, I've always known this. And I'm glad to hear you say it again tonight. It's so good to hear you say it again tonight. Yeah, quickly. Let's have 2-3 comments.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, the striking moment for me was the place where you said the spirits have a soul.
Yeah.
Lives in the body.
Great.
Like, I've always known that. Because when the Spirit of God is prompting something to you, there's the way you receive the information. It still comes, you know, your soul still kind of process it. Okay, like, I don't know, maybe you want to go out. I just want to cite an example randomly.
Right, right.
You know, maybe you want to go out and, you know, you just have this tingling that don't wear a particular dress, wear a particular one. Even though the Spirit of God is communicating with your spirit, it still takes your soul to process, you know, the fact that, okay, this is what I should do and this is what I should not do. So I don't know, some people kind of bastardize this in such a way as if the soul does not have a part to play even when the Holy Spirit is relating to us. I don't know if you get what I'm saying, sir.
I do. So your spirit gets the instruction or the information or the revelation and processes it into your soul.
Yeah.
And then your soul now also processes it and brings the information out.
Exactly.
Yes, the soul is involved. It's very important.
It's very,
very important. And you see, when the devil captivates people, it's not their spirit he captivates. It's their soul. Is their soul. So when people think that the soul is not important, they're in trouble. That's why many Christians are poor today. Not because God wants them poor. They are just not thinking outside the box. Many of us are so loaded that if we release 10% of the potential loaded in us, we'll be shocked at the results we're going to have. But we're afraid. What are we afraid of? Failure. No, we're afraid that we'll be too successful. So we want to hold back a little. God bless you. Can we have 1-2 more? Yes. Something you are taking home with you. I tried to make it very basic and interactive. Okay, King, here.
Thank you very much.
Bless you.
So for me, I was really struck by the part that mentioned how we are led day by day, even in the major decisions and the supposed minor decisions that we make. And this has really been an integral part of my life, because I believe that there is really nothing I can do by myself, of myself, even if it seems right. But rather, however God wants me to live my life is how I choose to live my life.
Right.
So that really resonated with me. And I also have a question. Am I allowed to ask a question?
Good, please, go ahead.
Okay. So over time, I've been seeing in the Bible how that God mentions a manner in which or with which he guides his children. Mm. You mentioned two scriptures tonight. The first one was Psalm 32 and verse 8. It says, in the latter part, it says, I will guide thee with mine eye.
Yes.
So my question is, what does it mean for God to guide with his eye?
Very good. So that's why we're here, for the entire course. So I'll be teaching you what it means. When God uses such, we can call them descriptions or symbols, it is so that we can relate to what he's saying. Not necessarily that he's going to have to open his eyes like this, you know, and then be guiding us. Like when you read a scripture, like Psalm 91, that says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord is my refuge and my fortress." Now, sometimes, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. Fortress is like a building. Are you saying the Lord is a building? When he says, I will carry you on eagle's wings, does it mean God has wings? You know, sometimes you read some scriptures and it gives you an impression that maybe God has feathers. You understand? These are just symbols to make us really understand. God uses those words deliberately just so that we can relate to what he's saying. It doesn't necessarily mean that God can choose to guide with his leg. He can choose to guide with his hand. And in some places, you also see the hand of the Lord. Like the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. Now, some Bible scholars have interpreted the hand of the Lord to actually be the Holy Spirit. They'll tell you the Holy Spirit is actually the hand of the Lord. And they can go ahead and prove it. But one thing that we must now take out of that is that God is going to lead me. Now, the sky is not going to open. And if we see the eye of God, we'll die. But he said, I will guide you by my eye. But you can also reason. What comes from the eye of God? You can say, the light of his countenance. And what is the light of his countenance? Will heaven open and then we'll see a giant or gigantic torch that will shine from heaven? No, God will not do, most times, more often than not, he won't do those spectacular things. He will lead us from the inside. When he's leading you from the inside, he's still guiding you with his eye. Amen. Praise God. Will it not be nice, you know, when you read the Bible and it says, the Lord has made the heavens his throne and the earth his footstool. Will it not be nice to find out where his feet really are? So we can go and hug the feet of the Lord. Amen. But God is a spirit, so you must understand that. Yes. One more person. No lady has spoken tonight. All the ladies didn't understand what I said. Uh-huh. Masudat. Bakumi. She doesn't like me to call her Masudat.
I think one thing I wanted to mention was providence.
Providence.
The word providence.
Okay.
Where every little action that we make or somebody else's make is part of a big picture, a bigger picture. So I think one time I checked the meaning of the word and...
You think...
One time I checked the meaning of the word and he explained how sometimes we think, oh, my choice of a yellow scarf is just me doing my own thing. But somehow someone will say, oh, God told me to watch out for somebody that's wearing a yellow scarf. So I think what you said tonight is just a reminder that we are supposed to listen for the voice of God, because your choice to obey him tonight, or your choice to obey what he says, oh, wear a yellow scarf,
yes,
is helping the other person on the other hand.
Yeah. So it might look like it's a little thing, yellow scarf, but God is actually leading you. He knows the big thing he wants to do out of that small thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Very important. Thank you for that very good example. Some people say, well, it was just sheer providence. But hey, God is involved in all the little details. I'll close with this testimony. The pastor of our church in Liberia, finished from the Polytechnic Ibadan as a student. We were all guys, you know, and then we were all in singles fellowship here. After school, and he had done his NYSC, he picked up a passion in fashion designing. So he can make shirts like this and then native attires and all that. One day, he wanted to go to UCH. He had an appointment, I think, with a doctor. And as he was dressing up, he had a leading, an inward witness, to wear a particular pink shirt. He said he just shrugged it off. He just dressed up. And as he was about to leave, he lost his peace. Like, go and wear that pink shirt. So, well, what do I have to lose? I'm a fashion designer anyway. I have so many of them. So he took off whatever he was wearing. He wore the pink shirt. When he got to UCH, he went for something different. The doctor he went to see just got fascinated by the pink shirt he was wearing. I like this on you. Everything just looks so perfect and prim and proper. Where did you buy it from? What store? He said, I made it. Really? You make things like this? Can you make it for me? Exactly like this. And it will be neat, just like this. Long story short, he made for that doctor. He made for a few other friends. And that was the beginning of a business relationship with those doctors in UCH. That was how he started making shirts. And then they went on from shirts to natives. He became their major supplier till he left Nigeria. And a lot of money came in from that. Just by obeying. I had the story of a woman. That's someone I know. I had the story of a woman I didn't know. But someone told me. Who went to the U.S. Embassy for a visa interview. And she wore Adire. What's that thing they buy from Abeokuta? It's Adire, right? She wore Adire. And she went there with, I think, a child or so. You know, wearing same thing. And the white lady that was interviewing her, interview turned out to be a chat. Do you know, even a job interview can turn out to be a chat? Something just fascinates them. Ah, I like this, your outfit, though. I said, oh, thank you. Huh. Like, how much did it cost you? In Naira? That's about 5,000 Naira. And then for my little girl, about 2,500. How much is that in dollars? That's going to be like, based on the exchange rate that time, she gave the consular. Oh, pretty nice. I like it. So got an idea how I can have something like that. And you know, white people, they want something African. We want something foreign. Long story short, no questions about really why she was there. Just asked, okay, so why do you want to go to the U.S.? I want to go, blah, 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 blah. Just to know the visa category she applied for. Pick up your visa. That's it. And some people will wear everything. Suit, tie, pocket square, perfume, trying to make an impression. And they look at you, they don't like you. Some pastors wear collar. You see, in their mind, they're already thinking you are trying to create an impression. And they don't like that. The day I went there, it was a shirt under a normal regular suit. I didn't even suit up. I didn't button up. I didn't wear a tie. Just to look a bit formal. Let us learn to listen from the inside. We can go on and on with examples. One of our brothers that went for his viva in UCH, he was afraid. The suit he wore, somebody lent him the suit. He didn't have it. It was oversized. Oversized coat. It was a coat, not a suit. And the chairman of that panel got so fascinated by that coat and kept mentioning it. Where did you get this from? I like it. The brother thought the man was, you know, making jest of him. But the man was serious. He didn't even allow other professors talk. And he was the chairman. So everybody had to listen. And when he was listening, I think this guy's qualified. Let him go. The brother went to the lead pastor to share his testimony. Let's be sensitive. Even in the little things. If he tells you to text someone, that person might be on the verge of committing suicide. And your text will save them. Are you with me, church? Stand on your feet tonight. Glory to God. Spend a bit of extra time. Father, we thank you for this awesome service. We are so grateful. Thank you for sharing these things with us. We do not know it all. And so I lean on your spirit. We all lean on your spirit to teach us. Teach us in such a way that we can easily relate. Feed us with food convenient for us so that we can be led by your spirit every moment of every day. So we will stop making wrong decisions based on our sentiments and our logic But we'll start making right decisions based on the leading of your spirit. Because we know, Lord, that your spirit will not lead us into error. We honor you and we praise you tonight. And as we go to our various destinations, let your ever-abiding presence go with us. Lead us in the way to go and be glorified in our lives. Keep us from evil. Preserve our lives from those who don't like us. Keep us from the scourge of the tongues of men. Bless us, O God, and multiply your grace upon our lives. In Jesus' precious name, somebody shout amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion of the precious Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, say amen.